we're going to have to rebuild within this wild, wild west of information flow some sort of curating function.
It's time for the Access of Easy podcast, the weekly technology digest that keeps you ahead of the curve.
We've got to maybe do something with the internet.
Brought to you by EasyDNS.com.
Somebody will say, oh, freedom of speech, freedom of speech. These are foolish people.
Microsoft waited 2 years to fix a zero day it knew was being actively exploited. Canada's COVID-19 contact tracing app is now available and why I installed it. A large chunk of Tor exit nodes have been hijacked by a mystery actor. And Big Tech Deplatforms Shadowgate, a documentary about private contractor data theft and surveillance. Oh, I kind of flubbed that last headline, but I don't feel like going back to re-record it. This is Mark Jeftovic with Access of Easy number 159. Is it 159? Yes, it is. We're recording this on August 17th, and the show notes for this week's edition will be at accessofeasy.com/159. And last week's quote was, "The American people are free to do exactly what they are told." That was by Ward Churchill, and the winner was Andrew Chung. This week's quote is, "We hang the petty thieves and appoint the great ones to public office." That one's a classic. I expect a lot of you to get it, so get there early and post so you can win it. And the first person who posts the correct source of the quote to the show notes page gets their next domain or web hosting renewal on us. So Microsoft waited 2 years to fix a zero day that it knew was being actively exploited. In last week's Patch Tuesday, which is Microsoft's weekly ritual of applying updates and patches for security holes, sometimes numbering in the hundreds, last week's included a patch for a zero day vulnerability that was reported to them in early 2019. The vulnerability in question was CVE-2020-1464. It's called Glueball, and it enables attackers to circumvent the way Windows validates software package signatures, allowing them to have improperly signed hostile Java applets loaded by the system. VirusTotal's Brendan Quintero blogged about this weakness back in January 2019, and then, at that time, Microsoft validated his findings. Parasecurity researchers just this weekend, Tal Berry and Peleg Haidar, wrote a post that was referencing a file reported on VirusTotal back in August 2018, and that file is using this vulnerability. So when asked to comment by Krebs, who broke this story, why the company didn't fix a zero day that was being actively exploited for 2 years and had been reported to them almost as long ago, Microsoft gave some standard BS non-answer that every company this week seems to be handing out for reporter questions. Canada's COVID-19 contact tracing app is available and why I installed it. So back in Access of Easy number 151, we reported on the development and architecture of the Canadian COVID-19 contact tracing app. It anonymizes your data, it doesn't leave the device, it doesn't phone home, and the code is open source and posted to GitHub. And the app became available to download over the July 31st long weekend, or the beginning of August long weekend. The approach that we outlined in Access of Easy number 151, it gave me enough confidence to download it, and I have installed it on my mobile device. And like I said last time, I think this is an example of contact tracing done right. I'm not the only privacy advocate that thinks so. University of Ottawa law professor and notable privacy advocate Michael Geist, who has been cited in Access of Easy on multiple occasions, has also installed the app on his device, and he blogged why over on his website. Quote, "The Canadian COVID alert app is ultimately as notable for what it doesn't do as for what it does. The voluntary app does not collect personal information nor provide the government or anyone else with location information. The app merely runs in the background on an Apple or Android phone using Bluetooth technology to identify other devices that come within 2 meters for a period of 15 minutes or more. Obviously, the distance and timing are viewed as a minimum for potential transmission risk. If this occurs, a unique random identifier is stored on each person's device for a period of 14 days. After the 14-day period, the identifier is deleted from the device, end quote. And so just to close the loop on this, how it then works, if you are diagnosed as having COVID, what you then do is you hit a button in the app that generates a code that then gets transmitted to all the other apps. And that way, people who have been in contact with you know that they've been exposed to someone. But that's it. No identities are revealed. Even the Canadian government doesn't know how many times this app positively identifies someone, which to me is a sign that these things really aren't phoning home. So. And again, the code's on GitHub, so you can look at it to be sure. Canada Revenue Agency shuts down online services after cyber attacks. So the CRA, which is Canada's version of the IRS, had to shut down its online web services after two separate cyber attacks. At the time of the announcement, 5,500 accounts had been compromised. And until services are restored, citizens are unable to apply for emergency COVID benefits under the CERB program, CERB. Earlier in the month, more CRA accounts were compromised when hackers altered account information such as direct deposit details and then opened false CERB applications in their names. Facebook sued for conducting illegal biometrics via Instagram. Facebook has been sued over allegations that it was illegally harvesting user biometric data via Instagram. They offered to settle a separate suit for $650 million last month, but a new suit alleging the same thing was filed last week. The lawsuits claim that Instagram's face tagging functions were illegally creating face templates and uses that data for facial recognition even outside of Instagram across Facebook's other business units. Wall Street Journal finds TikTok gamed Android security to harvest data. TikTok looks like it has been circumventing a Google privacy restriction by collecting user MAC addresses as recently as November 2019, years after Google banned the practice. MAC addresses are unmalleable and unique to every internet-connected device. Think of them as Ethernet addresses that just aren't used in Ethernet cards anymore. They're considered personally identifiable information by some regulators, including the European Union. And they're frequently used in ad tech to build user profiles. The Wall Street Journal article, who broke the story, is paywalled, but what the other two articles that I linked to it don't mention that the Wall Street Journal article does is that the vulnerability to obtain the MAC addresses even after Google restricted access to it still existed and was reported to Google last year. The national security concerns around this include that MAC addresses could be used to monitor movements and habits of government personnel. Google didn't reply to Wall Street Journal's questions about the vulnerability being previously reported, and TikTok, for their part, replied with yet another BS statement about how seriously they take all users' privacy, and even bigger BS that they would not share data with the Chinese government even if asked to. Yeah, right. Qualcomm chip defect puts over a billion Android devices at risk of hacking. So also Android, quote, a billion or more Android devices are vulnerable to hacks that can turn them into spying tools by exploiting more than 400 vulnerabilities in Qualcomm's Snapdragon chip, researchers reported this week, end quote. So the compromise can occur when users download specially crafted content like videos that are rendered by the chip or having malicious apps installed. Qualcomm has released a fix, but they're withholding technical specifics about how the attack works until said fixes can work their way out into the installed user base. ByteDance censored anti-China content in Indonesia until mid-2020. In Indonesia, ByteDance operates... And ByteDance is TikTok's parent company, by the way. ByteDance operates an app in Indonesia under the name Baka Berita. or Babe for short. It looks like the Babe app has been suppressing content critical of the Chinese government from 2018 through until mid-2020. Babe denies the allegations and claims it moderates content in compliance with Indonesian law, but Reuters, who broke the story, has corroborated the claims via six separate sources. ByteDance did not reply to the claim other than to issue a BS statement that it complies with all foreign laws. UK court finds fault with facial recognition camera used by Welsh police. So a British civil liberties group is calling their victory over the South Wales police usage of AFR, which is automated facial recognition, a world's first. The SWP were running an AFP program since 2017, using it to target and track persons of interest, escapees, people with outstanding warrants, intelligence targets, but also people described as vulnerable or at risk. The South Wales police have decided not to appeal the ruling. A large chunk of Tor exit nodes have been hijacked by a mystery actor. So since January of this year, an unknown group of attackers have been adding Tor exit nodes to the network that perform SSL stripping attacks on traffic destined for cryptocurrency exchanges. The activity peaked in May when they were responsible for nearly a quarter of all Tor exit nodes, and now it's down to about 10%, but still it's 10% even now. SSL stripping attacks force the end user's browser to downgrade from using an HTTPS connection, which is encrypted, to HTTP, which traverses the network in the clear. So the objective in this attack was to target Bitcoin addresses destined for mixers. Those are sites that break up BTC flows into numerous smaller chunks and then reassemble them into a new address on the other end. So these guys would strip out the BTC address once the request had been downgraded. Then they insert their own, thus capturing all the Bitcoin sent through such a transaction. So I was reading this and I was wondering, like, why wouldn't all of these sites, these mixer sites, have HSTS enabled, which is a browser protocol that forces your browser to connect over HTTPS. But I realized that this happens even before you connect to the website itself, because it's happening at the Tor exit node, which is genius and diabolical and evil all at the same time. Medical debt collection agency hit with ransomware attack. R1 RCM bills itself as a technology-driven revenue cycle management company that caters to the medical sector. Crebson Security calls them a medical debt collection agency. Anyway, they've been hit with a ransomware attack and they had to take their systems down just prior to their Q2 earnings release, and they're publicly traded under the RCM ticker on the NASDAQ. It appears as though they fell prey to an atypically mass-mailed spearfish sent to a bunch of employees, such as one forged from a hospital administrator with patient records attached, although the patient records were obviously a malware payload. The U.S. Department of Homeland Security issued a CISA bulletin describing the attack vector. We link to that in the show notes page. While we're on the topic, we're working on the final touches of a business email compromise module for DomainSure, which we're kind of in soft launch phase. If you haven't opted into the DomainSure invite list and you want to get in on an early release of the business email compromise defense, then just head over to domainsure.com and get on the invite list there. Uber threatens to quit California after labor decision. So we reported last week, Axis of Easy number 158, that Uber and Lyft were apprehensive of a California judge's impending ruling on whether they had to treat their drivers as employees. Lyft said such a move would cause them irreparable damage. The ruling came down. The judge ruled as they feared, and says that their drivers have to be treated as employees. And so now Uber is threatening to quit the state or at least temporarily shut down their app in California, presumably until they can get this overturned, I guess. I wrote a more in-depth piece about this over on my Out of the Cave blog called Even Unicorns Get the Blues. So that's in the show notes page. And if you're not subscribed to my Out of the Cave blog, you might want to sign up there too. Big tech deplatforms the Shadowgate documentary about private contractor data theft and surveillance. So on Friday, August the 14th, former InfoWars reporter Millie Weaver, who operates as Millennial Millie, released a documentary called Shadowgate, which alleges that a private contractor complex within the U.S. government circles accessed and manipulated data, promulgated false narratives, and waged psychological operations against individuals and groups both within the U.S. and worldwide. And the same day, she was also arrested on multiple felony charges, including robbery and obstructing justice, and she was held without bail over the weekend pending a bail review. And that's actually supposed to happen today. It's like end of business Monday, so I don't know what happened there yet. But big tech has been diligently removing copies of the video everywhere. YouTube is calling it hate speech. Facebook removed it. Twitter is blocking any links to it. I watched the video in its entirety, and I've written up my take on it on the Access of Easy website, and I've also linked to the full video hosted on an indie platform, so you can watch it for yourself and make up your own mind. Access of Easy Salon 17, Cognitive Conquest and Thinking the Unthinkable. So last week, Charles was back on the show. We expanded more on Jesse's concept of the network state and how it looks to supplant the nation states of yore, and how we may be in the early innings of a new type of global conflict being waged with weapons that the majority of the populace, and possibly many in the government, do not even recognize as being weapons. So check it out. Let your friends know about Access of Easy. Like us on YouTube, Facebook, and all those other places. That's it for this week. The show notes, once again, are up at accessofeasy.com/159. Stay healthy, stay sane, stay safe, and we'll see you all next week.
Bangladesh, rhymes with your fresh. You just got home.